Oh yeah, it's podcast time. So once again, we are talking population here in this podcast. So who doesn't like to talk about population? It's interesting, right? If you like numbers, population's a good subject for you. But what we're talking about specifically with population this time is human population. How does it change? How do we look at how it changes? How do we visualize how it changes? Things like that. So once again, I think it's going to be a good one. I think you'll like it. I think it's interesting. Let's give it a shot. All right, so human population dynamics. So dynamics, we're just talking about like how it changes, factors that change it. So human population. So, okay, so interesting map. You might be looking at this map and you're like, what's going on here? I don't understand this map. This doesn't look like a normal world map. So what this map is, it's like it's a grid map. That's why it looks so blocky. But this map is as of 2015. It is using those populations. And it's basically changed the size of all of the countries based on their population. So you can see the two largest countries by far are China and India. One that is really weird is this one that's like part of India, Bangladesh. Bangladesh has a huge population, very big population, and it is tiny. I don't know off the top of my head, but if I had to guess, I wouldn't say it's much different from the size of California. But it's got millions of people. Like it's got a decent number of people. So not a big country per size, but population makes it look huge here. So that's what we're seeing. And that's the whole thing that we talk about today is that population is not evenly distributed. Now we should see an image that's kind of the same thing. No, I mean, another way of showing the same thing where the world is just distorted based on population. And we'll kind of talk about why that's happened and what factors that has created. Okay, so if you didn't know, that's the world population that we're talking about 7 billion people, getting closer to 8, right? We're getting closer. I do have these videos posted, right? So when you look at the presentation, you will see a bunch of links on here. I kept them in there because basically if I didn't keep them in there, I would have to create 3 different versions of the same presentation. So I kept them in there. So we're not going to watch all of them, but you should, right? These are like most typical person. That's a decently entertaining one. The song will get stuck in your head forever. So these are all great videos that you could watch for this unit. Do you have to? No. But they are a resource, so you can go and access this presentation and see the videos. This is something that's crazy. Every 5 days, 1 million people are added to the world population. So, I mean, you think about us growing, we're growing fast. And in a few years, that number will start to decrease, right? What I mean is not the million, the days. It'll start to be 4 days, then 3 days, then 1 day, if we stay at the same growth rate that we have, right? So it's something to think about is how fast are we growing? And now why are we growing? You might have learned about some of this, right? But if you look at, like, we could go all the way back to our limiting factors, but for human population, the limiting factors are simple. Goes back to one of the most simple things, and it's hard. Really, this is really hard to think about, right? But if you go back, like, 1,000 years, a lot of people died from starving. To me, that's crazy to think about, right? That's not that far. 1,000 years. 2,000 years, 3,000 years, 10,000 years. People were dying from starving. People just like you or I, right? We're not talking necessarily cavemen. You have to go back pretty far to get to cavemen. We're talking about just like primitive, more primitive people. They were dying from starving. That's crazy. So we're always trying to figure out solutions, and we've always, since our brains grew and we could think more, we've always tried to control nature. Right. If you think about it, as simple as this, creating a tool right? If you turn a 10-foot stick into a spear, you're controlling nature. If you nap a stone and make it really sharp so you can stab something, that is controlling nature to benefit you. So part of controlling nature is this. Instead of saying, because here's what people used to do. Like if you didn't know, hunters gatherers, like that's like early time, right? We would literally have hunters and gatherers. And what would, and people were all nomadic. There were like almost no people that were like, I'm gonna stay right here. The reason why is because animals move and food is seasonal. So like these berries, these plants, these whatever would be seasonal. Like they are growing here, this is growing here, this is growing here at this season. So we would move to follow those things and we would know the patterns, right? So then what we did was we said, what if we figured out a way to stay here, and that way to stay here is we take the seeds, we figured out what seeds were, and we plant this crop here so that we know it's going to be here. A lot of, just so you know, with early agriculture, we were actually still nomadic. What we would do, like, here's how it started. We'd plant something, it would grow, then we would know it was going to be there, right? We're just increasing our chances that food was going to be there, or making more food there, or whatever. And then it got to the point where it was like, wait, we can eat this for meat, and then we can just keep growing more of the vegetables, fruit, all these crops, right? These grains, like we can just grow more of that. So we got better and better and better at the agriculture. So because of that, less people were starving. So you want to talk about increasing population? Population started increasing about 400 years ago. Another way that population started increasing was we found out that certain things are really gross, right? You might not quite know what I'm talking about, but literally like 200 years ago, so no, we're not even as far back as we're talking, 100 years ago even, we learned about germs, right? I mean, it was literally like a doctor would perform some form of a surgery, a birth, something like that, and then rinse off what he was using, and then use it on the next person. Not sanitize it, not throw it away, just use it on the next person. So a lot of disease and pathogens were being passed along that way. Disposing of waste, a lot more money and research and effort has gone into disposing of human waste and waste in general, so that disease doesn't pass. So because of that, less people dying, right? So less people dying means more increase in population. So then we have these different beliefs, right? We have this guy, Malthus, late 1700s, early 1800s. This dude was like super pessimistic. Super pessimistic. Like I don't know if I'd want to like sit down and have a drink with this guy or anything. Like, you know what I mean? Like he's probably that guy that like just thinks everything bad's gonna happen. So he sees at this time that the population is starting to increase, right? Actually I'll tell you another story about this one too. But so he sees the population's increasing, and what he says is the population is gonna increase so quick that we won't be able to produce enough food. Was he correct? Technically, no, because we're still alive, and that was 200 years ago. So he wasn't right, but he was right. I don't know if that makes sense. He wasn't right, but he was right. So I'll explain once we get to this. Okay, so this is where he wasn't right. Because he couldn't see the future, right? He didn't know, like, he underestimated us. He underestimated humans, right? Like, to me, like, you look at, like, I got a challenge for you. Go look at some of the things that were done during World War II. Like, it would be shocking to you if you go and look at some of the things during World War II. No homes were using metal. I don't know if you knew that or not. Like any of these like canned goods, like stuff like that. Like nobody was using metal. And it's kind of like now with the mask thing. Like think about this. Like this is how crazy it is. This is how different we are now. Back then, you know, there's a war going on, pretty big war, a lot of people involved, right? And so we needed resources, we needed metal to use to help with the war effort. So people in their homes were not told, like it wasn't mandatory, you weren't going to get arrested, but it was just like, hey, we need it for the troops, right? So people did it. They cut back on metal in their homes. But and like they united against this thing, right? So they totally changed everything about their lives. And here's the point I'm making. They changed everything about their lives for the same cause. And I'm telling you, like, that's for something like war. So what I'm saying is, when our back's against the wall, we're pretty legit. Like, think of some of the inventions we have, right? And I'm using war as an example because that's one of the main times when your back's against the wall, right? You think of so many inventions, cell phones, GPS, radar, so many things, sonar, so many things were invented. Why? Because of war. Why? I'm not saying war is good. I'm not promoting war or anything like that. I know way too much about war, right? So I'm not saying that, like, I support war. No, heck no, I'm not saying I support war. But what I'm saying is, it's a situation where humans, their back's against the wall. What are we gonna do? We're gonna find a way to survive. So that's what he didn't expect. He didn't factor that in. He just looked at numbers. Numbers are good and great, but they're only part of the situation. So what actually happened was, we figured it out. We figured out a way to feed people. If people are dying and we have too many people, how are we gonna feed them? We figured it out. So the population, so he was correct that that should have happened, that people should have died, but we're not just some animal living in the forest. We figured it out, right? So we figured out a way to feed ourselves by innovations in agriculture. So agriculture was already a thing, but we stepped up our game. We had more effective ways of having crops, more food storage, more food transportation, more efficient ways to farm. Oh, and the other one that I was going to say is actually this. So there was actually a similar situation where, and the whole point of this is with that mouth is that you can't predict the future, right? You can predict the statistics. You can look at a graph and say this will happen, but you can't actually law of unintended consequences. Like, you don't know exactly what's going to happen. The numbers will tell you what's going to happen, but the numbers are only at like 10% of the story. There's so much more. Okay. So the other situation that I was going to say is there was something similar with horses. People were looking at horses and saying that eventually there's going to be a major issue with the amount of horse poop that's being produced. It was around actually the same time. And so they were saying, man, it's going to be an issue. It's going to be an issue. There's too much horse poop there. Actually, it was not around the same time. It was as Malthus, it was like almost 50, 60 years later, 75 years later, something like that. But yeah, so there's a whole issue with horses. There's going to be too much horse poop. It's going to be a world issue. How are we going to deal with it? What are we going to do with all this horse poop? There's too many horses because everybody needed a horse. Everybody needed multiple horses, right? You know what happened? The car was invented. You know what was no longer an issue? Horse poop. So I'm not at all saying that cars are good, but it's just a variable that you didn't expect. So, point of that is, you can't always predict things with numbers. You can just use the numbers to help you think of what might happen. But you can't predict what the next invention is going to be or the next idea is going to be. So, okay, so you're looking at these you're looking at a bar graph. It uses heads just to make it look cool, right? But what we're seeing here is a carrying capacity. Different ideas of what different carrying capacities could be. So we talked about what carrying capacity is. It's the based on the resources, based on the potential population density, what's the number of organisms, in this case, people, that a place can hold, right? So like if you go around the school, you go to a restaurant, whatever they have a carrying capacity. They have a maximum capacity of 50 people, whatever it is, right? The reason why is because it gets too crowded. It creates issues if there's too many people. Well, same thing with Earth. Earth has a limit, right? We don't know what that limit is, and you can't really predict that limit, Right? So I've heard numbers all over the place. Currently, the world population is over 7 billion people. I have heard some people say the true carrying capacity of Earth is between 3 and 5 billion. Many people agree with that. I have heard some say 10 billion. I have heard somebody say, I forget his name, but there's a guy who said the number is 100 billion people. It's a lot, right? The whole point of this is you don't know. But we know this. We don't know what the actual carrying capacity is because you don't know the inventions, right? You don't know what, like certain people are dealing with it differently, right? You look at a state like Texas, everybody has a ranch, everybody has all this land. You look at San Francisco, everybody lives in a small, a small land footprint. Right, you look at us compared to Tokyo, Japan. Right, different situation. Like, would we adjust the way that we live? We'd have to, right? Depending on the number of people. So that's what we're looking at here, is the carrying capacity. But here's what we do know. We know for a fact that there are population density dependent factors. Right? We've said that there are some things that would be an issue if we have too much density or too high of a density. Too many people packed in too small of an area is going to create problems. Some of those problems are simple. Disease. Where have most of the major diseases recently started? Does anybody know? Let me ask that question. Let me legitimately ask that question. Where have most of the major worldwide diseases started within the past 20, 30 years? Does anybody know? We're talking SARS, H1N1, swine flu, COVID, all these, COVID-19.
Would it be unsanitary locations?
No, you might be correct, but I'm saying specifically, geographically, country.
I think South America had swine flu, and then parts of Asia had different ones.
Okay.
And Africa had Ebola.
Okay.
Like Europe.
Okay. You want to know the truth? Truthfully, all of the major, worldwide, all but one of the recent major worldwide diseases, pathogens, whatever, started Southeast Asia. One of them started in Saudi Arabia. Ebola, I don't count because Ebola is kind of always going on, and that was a specific ritual thing that they do with their bodies, which we won't get into, but that caused that issue. And the reason why I'm not saying anything bad about those countries, I'm just saying they're not considered developed countries, not counting Saudi Arabia. That was a different situation. So not counting Saudi Arabia, they're not developed countries, so they have a lower income, but they have a lot of people packed into a small area. Population dependent. Let's say we go even farther back. We're like, but let's go farther back. Spanish flu, where'd that happen? United States, population density at the time, not very developed at that time. We turn of the century, 1900s. I would not consider us a developed country, and nobody would at that time. So, but we had a lot of people packed into small areas. Boom. Let's go back to the Black Plague. Well, where'd that happen? Oh, man. Population density, right? So that is the issue, right? So could we have 100 billion people? Possibly. Could it create issues? Yes. Will it create issues? 100%. You know what the best thing is in the world? Antibiotics. You know what is starting to not work anymore? Antibiotics. You know the reason why? Is because that disease, the antibiotic-resistant diseases are having a chance to spread and mutate, the more opportunity that they get. Put them around a lot of people in a small area, they have a lot of room to spread. Maybe we have some sports people. I don't know if we have any wrestlers, but you might know what staph infection is. It's when you have a small cut and it gets infected, right? It's a common thing. Staph infection is not uncommon, right? You know what is uncommon? MRSA. MRSA is staph infection that is most antibiotic resistant. Not to all, but most. Issues, right? So some of these diseases that you're talking about are just simply antibiotic resistant. If you have too much density of population, you'll end up with a lot of things that are antibiotic resistant. 2 years ago, 1 year ago, the first person ever to have an infection that was resistant to all antibiotics happened. So avoid antibiotics if you don't need them. You got a sinus infection? Don't take antibiotics. You got a boo-boo on your toe? Don't take antibiotics. We're gonna skip past this one. We don't need that today. Okay, so how does population change? We are gonna talk about a lot of numbers, so stay with me here. Like this is not as complicated as it might sound at first, right? But we have talked about this. You have seen this in an equation. You've used this in an equation. Okay, so the population size is generally going to affect the how a population can change. The birth and death rates. If you have a lot of people dying, population decreases. A lot of people being born, population increases. Fertility. We'll talk more specifically about what we mean there with fertility, because fertility generally just means the ability to have kids. That's not quite what we're talking about, so I'll go more in depth there. Life expectancy. So if people are living to 100, well, then that's allowing your population to maintain for longer. And then migration. Migration, like, is like one key thing with our country. Our country is actually like a weird one where I'll talk about the numbers and I'll come back to migration with our country. We're not gonna that like is just one thing where I included the link to be a resource that you can go back to. We're not gonna read that article right now, though. Okay. Has anybody seen one of these before? Anybody?
Yes.
All right, so we got one AP Hug student. Okay, so these are not complicated at all. And guess what? For your assignment, you are going to have to create one of these. It's not difficult at all. Let me explain though. So what you're actually seeing is three different graphs. So this would be a graph of or they are graphs of three different countries. So here you have Afghanistan, you have United States, and you have Italy. What it is a snapshot of the population at that time using, listen carefully, using percentages. So if you added up all of the percentages from this, it would add up to 100%. So it's showing 100% of the population here, 100% here, 100% here. What we're looking at is the percent that are in what age range. So if you look at Afghanistan, actually, let me point out one more thing on here, or two more things, or three more things. Okay, so I just want to show you how to read the graph. So on the left, we have male. On the right, we have female. So like green is female, orange is male. Here is our age brackets. This one goes in 5 year increments. So like just born to 4 years old, 5 to 9, and so on and so on and so on. Then on the bottom, it's our percentages, right? So we go all the way out to 10%. And sometimes you'll see that varies. Sometimes it'll go out to rarely you'll see it go past 10%. Sometimes it'll be a lot shorter, right? So that's what we're looking at. But now let me ask you this question. Just talking about Afghanistan, the one on the left. What age is the largest percent of their population?
0 to 4.
Yeah, 0 to 4. Exactly. And what happens? So Sal, I'm going to double down on you answering. What happens with the ages? Like, what could you say happens with the ages as they get older? Like, what happens with your percentage? Sorry.
Goes lower and lower.
Yeah, exactly. So that one is traditionally what you would call pyramid shape, right? And so what you're seeing is it says rapid growth. So it's growing really quickly, but it's also they're not living very long. So you can see there's like nobody hitting their 80s, right? And I've been there. I've been to this place. I can attest to that, right? If you saw somebody in Afghanistan that was in their 40s or 50, they were old. Old, like old, old, old. Like, but there were kids everywhere. I can tell you that right now. United States. This one's us, right? So what do you somebody else tell me? So Sal already went for us. Someone else tell me, what do you notice about the population in the United States? Like, what does this graph tell you? Anybody?
Can I answer it?
Yeah, fine, Sal. The other people are lame.
It basically shows us that they usually have two kids each. Parents have two kids each, so it's consistent throughout the whole graph.
Yeah, and so we'll come back to exactly what Sal was saying. So he's using that number two, so we'll come back to that. So this one, it is actually, it's hard to tell with this one, but they're actually describing it as a slow growth. One thing that's interesting is when you get good at looking at these pyramids, you can actually see things that happened with population. So like, but, and somebody other than Sal answer this question, because this one's easy. Where is the fattest part of the United States pyramid? Graph, we'll say. What's the fattest part? The widest part?
40s to
50s. Yeah. You guys know who, though, based on this graph, you guys know who those people are?
President, politician,
board of
people.
No. We're talking about the whole country. What we're looking at is with this graph. I just know when this graph was. With this graph, we are looking at baby boomers. You've learned about that, right? The people came back from World War II. They all started having a lot of kids. A lot of that has to do with the development stage of the country, too. But they call them baby boomers. It was when the population drastically increased. So you can see that. You can see that increase, right? So that's what's happening there. We'll talk more about it. And then you have a country like Italy. Right, so Italy has like this really fat area, but what do you notice is going on with their kids? Are they having a lot of kids? No, they're not. Actually, this is an issue with a lot of European countries. So just quick thing, some European countries, like Germany is now one of them as well, they're having so few kids that they're actually like true nationals of that country, so the true Italians aren't reproducing enough to maintain the population. So actually what they did, like, this might be like 10 years ago now, they had a pope do like he announced in a year, I forget exactly how it went, but it was something like this: in a year, Pope blah 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 is going to do a blessing for any Italian person that shows up. You know what happened? A lot of people had kids. They wanted their kid blessed by the Pope, right? So that was their trick, their way of trying to convince the Italian people to have more kids. So, but we'll talk more. Let's talk more about these numbers. Remember, you're going to create something like that. We'll talk about these stages later, right? But there's a development stage that countries follow. This, I left in here, great video for you to watch. It's going to help you understand this stuff a lot. So here we're seeing a graph. You're seeing the J curve. You're seeing the exponential growth. You're seeing all this stuff. So you can see the first part where it's saying the metal plow. So this is like right around the time of when Malthus was saying, we're all going to die. Where he was being crazy, like, we're going to increase too quick. And he was right on the numbers, but we stepped up our innovation with agriculture technology. It's actually where John Deere comes into play. If you didn't know that, this is the main area where John Deere comes into play. Really stepped up our agriculture. But then there's a huge, but whatever. We'll keep rolling. But then we go to the Black Death. We go to the bubonic plague. A lot of people die. I believe we talk about that one later, like in a few months. Then the Industrial Revolution hits. And more people are able to eat. We're able to get more food, more money, more wealth, all of these things. So that's when our population really starts to take off. Let me go back to this. Just know that this is our path for the most part, right? You're mainly looking at countries like us with this. Other countries follow a similar path. Because, and what I'm saying here, I know that this is the world population. I know all that stuff. Yes. We're looking at how the world population has changed. But what I'm showing you is along this time, for most of this increase, it didn't, like in Africa, their population didn't start to drastically change. In China, their population didn't start to drastically change. It happened with us, and this same curve would happen differently for all countries. That's something that we're going to talk about in the coming weeks, is how different countries follow this same path and what the different stages mean. And you can predict what's going to happen with a country. You can. Okay, so now we're getting to some of these terms that we've talked about. So total fertility rate. This is a very important term that you need to understand. Average number of children a woman produces in a population throughout her life. Okay, so it's not like how many kids can she have? It's how many does she have, right? So that's what we're looking at, and this is a number that you will have to find for a country that you choose. So here are the different numbers for different places. So you have three countries and then just generally the world. So you have us, which our TFR, total fertility rate, so the average amount of kids that a woman is having in her life is 1.8. But guess what? Our country's not shrinking. Why? Because many people are moving into our country, right? So we get a lot of people migrating into our country. So that is what gets our country to increase. Then we have Niger in Africa. It's actually like kind of smack dab in the middle almost. 7.2. The average woman in that country is having seven kids. South Korea, just over one. The world is 2.4, right? So now check this out. And this is what Sal was talking about. This and really the next slide. There is a replacement level for fertility, right? So what that is what should your fertility rate be to maintain the size of the population, right? Because you hit a number and your population will increase. You hit a number and your population will go down. You hit a number and it will stay the same. So that is your replacement level. So let's check this out. It for everybody, for all these developed countries, our replacement level is 2.1. You might be asking, like, well, how do they come up with that number? What it's saying is based on the estimates of how many people die, right? Because you would think, right? You would think, like, if this is a married couple, right? If they only have one kid, then they're actually decreasing. They decrease the size by 50%, right? So if they have two kids, they maintain the size. But we do have people die. We do. Car accidents, whatever, like, people die. So that's where the 0.1 comes into play. So one out of every 10 women has three kids. That keeps us at a steady rate, and our population stays the same size. Okay? For developing countries, like we saw Niger on there, and a lot of African countries are a lot higher than that 2.2. But we're strictly talking about the replacement rate. To maintain their population size has to be higher than 2.2 because they have more death, right? So if half of the kids die before they even reach adolescence, then you can't just have two kids. You'd have to have four, right? To maintain that steady rate. So that's what we're talking about. Depends on the country, though, and where they're at in the developmental stages. Yeah, I think I'll try to still do something with this. This is kind of interesting talking about their one child policy. Vice News does a really interesting thing on that, and man, is it crazy. So we might talk about it. But if you want to just check out this article, if you want to go do your own research, watch the Vice documentary, I encourage it, man. It is crazy what China did and the power that they have to do that. Did it work in terms of population control? Yes. Did it create issues, those unintended consequences? Oh, 100%. So, weighing the options. This is an activity that we might get to. Like I said, I try to leave everything in here. Okay. So this one's interesting. So why do females live longer? So a lot of why females live longer is actually more social than anything. We are actually not a species where it should be that drastically different. Most of it's social. What I mean by social is like job choices, literally social choices, like more males. Males, like there's a larger percentage of males that are alcoholics, substance problems, things like that. It's more common in males. Males that smoke, dip, things like that, more common. So you're more likely to die. The other thing is, and I know this is something that's like changing drastically, but whenever I was in, there were no females that were able to be in the military and have true combat jobs, like where you're actually doing the fighting. They could be in the military. They could go to the some of the places that I went to, but they couldn't. They weren't actually in the job that was 24/7 doing the fighting, like myself, right? And like myself, I'll be honest with you. There was a very high percentage that I could have been killed, right? So male, like more males die in war. Okay, that's why I struggle with some of the equality that the women want. If you look at this graph, more men are dying. Because a lot of those stupid jobs that we do, right? Because we generally don't make as good of decisions as women. So some of the equality, women need to pump the brakes and let the guys keep doing the stupid jobs. You girls out there, telling you, let the guys go work the oil rigs and die. Right? Terrible. That's a terrible
I'm thinking
lesson.
about suicidal rates too.
Sal, I'm not gonna lie to you. I have zero clue what you just said. World life expectancy. So here you're seeing the different age range that people can get to. There are some places that go even past. Like there's a place in, I think, Switzerland, a place in Japan, and like one other place that they call the Blue Zones, where it's like they have crazy amounts of people that are living to over 100. Actually, if you've watched, I highly recommend that you watch this. I don't know what it was called, the Zac Efron thing. Great. It's on Netflix. Great show. Like for this class, great. I highly recommend watching that. They have one about people that live that old. So I'm trying to go quick because we're almost done and we need to finish. This one is showing infant mortality rate. So like, I forget what the exact age is. I think it's 1 year for infant mortality rate. It might be 2 years. So it's kids that are dying before that age, and then child mortality rate. So you're basically looking at those bottom two rungs on the population pyramid and them dying at that age. So typically, this is a sign of how developed a country is. The more developed the country is, the lower this number. Right? So, like in Japan, their infant and child mortality rate is very low, right? This is why you see mainly these Middle Eastern and African countries and some South American countries that they have a higher infant and child mortality rate, right? They're less developed countries. And these are the reasons why, because they less food, less healthcare, water supply isn't great. Sanitation, and it mentions pollution, but like all I'm trying to say with this is, if you go back, if we rewind this whole presentation, the same exact stuff was mentioned with our development. That's why I wanted to point out that it's different for the whole world, right? Because at some point we were one of these countries. At some point that was us. So now it's them. That's the crazy to think about, right? Our 1800s, our 1700s, right? We talk about these civil, like the Civil War, Revolutionary War, War of 1812, like all these different wars, right? That happened for us that are ancient history for us. We're learning about them in a class. For some countries, that's happening right now. It's crazy to think about, right? Yeah, like we talk about, oh man, they gotta go digging wells. I'm gonna go help people in Africa dig a well. Well, at some point, people were digging wells here. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not like saying anything bad or good or like anything like that. I'm just saying they right now are where we were maybe 200 years ago. And I'm telling you, you might be sitting there like, that is crazy, right? But it's why some of these countries, it's why we can't just instantly solve their problems. Like, right? Because if we took our whole class, we go back to the 1700s, how many and we go to the not even the United States, we go to the colonies, are we going to solve many of their problems? Right? No, they're in their thinking, right? I heard somebody say this, and I've witnessed this. This is true, right? So you take a country that is not a developed country at all, but has had a lot of Americans in it recently, Afghanistan. It's tough to solve Afghanistan's problems when I'm telling you for a fact, they don't even know how old they are. I'm telling you. I've literally personally asked people, well, how old are you? A lot of them don't even know, right? So think about it. Like, that's how far behind us they are. Is they don't even, you know, they don't even know something like that. Crazy to think about. Okay, so yeah, you can go to this information. This is resources for you to use. We want to talk about this because here is what you have due and how much of it is due. Well, guys, that is our lesson for today. Hopefully, you learned a lot. If you have questions, you know where to send them. If you have comments or concerns, send them to the same place. Let me know if you have a way to make this podcast better. Let me know if there's a better way for me to help you. If you have any input for me, just send it my way. I'd love to hear it. Thanks, guys. See you next time.